Hello, welcome to Microsoft Build. My name is Jeff Sackowitz, and I'm joined today by Jimmy Lin, along with a special guest, Martin Seifert, the CEO of Office at Work. We're here today to talk to you about creating trustworthy apps with the Microsoft Identity Platform. The way apps are built and the way they interact with data has changed. We've come a long way since the world of old school, full trust Windows apps, and apps that had access to everything in a given domain, as long as they were accessing it from behind a firewall. In this new world, identity is the control plane. And we have cloud platforms and open protocols like OAuth and OpenID Connect. This means your app can reach millions of users fast, and it can integrate with exciting data that lets you build rich experiences. What this doesn't mean is that all apps get instant access to all forms of data. Can you imagine if every app you ever installed in your phone was automatically granted full access to your mail, your contacts, your photos, your location, and your behavioral information? It doesn't sound like the sort of world I want to live in. Unfortunately, that's not the case. In this new world of OAuth and app registrations, apps need to request permissions before they can access data. And they need identities, just like users do. All these app identities requesting permissions to all this data creates all sorts of new security and compliance challenges for our customers every day. They know they need to manage this risk, but they also know they want to get value out of all the great apps you're building. When we talk to our customers about this, they tell us they want better visibility into what these apps are, who's building them, and whether they abide by best practices. They want more control over what users can grant what apps access to what data. They want to make more decisions proactively using policy, and they want reactive ones to be simpler. They tell us that systems and platforms should keep data safe and make their decisions even easier. And last, but certainly not least, they tell us that they do want fast end-user-driven app adoption, but only for apps that are built securely by trustworthy developers that abide by best practices. Now, historically, these two goals of risk management and fast end-user-driven app adoption have sometimes been at odds with each other. But it doesn't have to be that way. So we're updating the model. And we hear similar feedback as well from developers. You tell us that you're doing all the right things already. You're building apps securely. You're following best practices. But it can be hard for you to prove that to customers when it counts. We want to make it even easier for you to build trustworthy apps, and we want to help you get credit for it. So now let's talk about how you participate as a developer in this new model. First, at the foundation is the Microsoft Identity Platform. This is a set of capabilities that helps developers building identity-connected apps. It lets you reduce complexity by offloading that complexity to Microsoft, saving you time and money and helping you future-proof your applications. This way, you can focus on delivering the unique value that you build into your applications. The platform consists of a whole bunch of capabilities, including an app registration experience in the Azure portal or in the Microsoft Graph App API, a set of authentication libraries for clients and services called MSOL that we'll talk more about in a moment. It helps you request access to data exposed by APIs like Microsoft Graph, Azure APIs, and your own APIs that help you build great experiences for your users. And it has a set of OpenID Connect certified endpoints. This all lets you sign your customers in with the user accounts that they're used to using every single day, whether this is their work account or their school account or their personal account, or this even could be a social identity or another sort of external identity or even a local account. And this is all built on top of industry standards. I mentioned MSOL briefly before. This is a set of authentication library for clients and services. And we've come a long way since the days of writing custom code to validate passwords against a database sitting under somebody's desk. In this new world of identity-driven security in the cloud can come some complexity. There's SSO, there's MFA, there's CA, there's FIDO2, and the list goes on and on. And frankly, it can be hard to keep all the acronyms straight, never mind building an app that integrates with it all securely while providing a seamless experience for end users. So again, let Microsoft handle the complexity for you by using MSOL. This way, all you have to worry about is request a token, get a token. It's simple. Also, make sure that you're always using the latest version, as we're constantly adding support for additional scenarios and new platforms. As an example, we recently added support for auth code flow with Pixie in MCLJS. And this is a really great option for developers building single-page apps who want to move away from the OAuth implicit flow. Our documentation is always going to be your source of truth, and then that will link you out to places like GitHub or NuGet or NPM and more for you to get the latest bits. So I mentioned this before, but it bears repeating because it's important. Apps need identities too. And you know, when most people hear the term app identity, they think of the app ID or the client ID GUID that they got when they registered their app and they put into a config file somewhere. Now, this property is important. It is your app identity's equivalent of a username. But just like a user identity, your app identity has all sorts of other properties that are important to configure correctly. And there are security implications of this, and there are usability implications of this. And it's really important to remember that just because you're writing secure code doesn't mean you can forget about secure config. And that's really what app identity security is about. As an example, many types of applications, confidential clients, if we're talking in OAuth terms, need to use a credential to authenticate themselves when requesting a token. And you all know not to use a weak password as the credential for your user account. But what a lot of folks don't think about very much is that it's really important to be deliberate when choosing a credential and choosing how to manage it when you're setting up your app identity. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's also redirect URI hygiene. There's least privilege. There's choosing the right auth configuration for your scenario. And there's a whole bunch of things you need to think about to make sure end users get a good experience. And again, there can be a lot to remember here, which is why I'm so excited that we're announcing this week public preview of the Integration Assistant. This tool understands your current configuration and your scenario, and it makes a series of recommendations for updates to various attributes of your application identity to make sure that everything is in good standing and you're abiding by the best practices, the latest best practices, and it makes this all really easy. This is available today in the portal, so go check it out and let us know what you think. Some of you might have seen this screen before. It's kind of a bummer, right? So there are two problems here. First, the user can't consent to the app, and they need to go find their admin and ask for the admin to approve it on their behalf if they want to start using it and getting the value that this app delivers. Now, we have made some investments to make this process much easier than it was before, like the admin consent workflow. However, even once the user does find their admin, when the admin goes to review the app, it can be really hard for them or the user to know definitively that this app was built by Contoso and not some imposter. We're fixing that, and I'm very excited that this week we're announcing public preview of publisher verification. Publisher verification allows developers to associate a verified organizational identity with their app registration, proving their authenticity. The process is simple, and many of you have probably already satisfied the requirements. If you have a verified Microsoft Partner Network account, all you need to do is go to the branding page of your app registration, plug in your NPM ID, and click verify. If you don't have an NPM account already, no worries, it's free to sign up. The process just takes a few seconds after you click verify, and once it's done, you'll see a badge on the branding page next to your verified publisher name, and you'll see that same blue check mark on the consent screen. Now, this is a really great benefit, but I will say publisher verification is about much more than this check mark. It lets admins and users know that your app is from an authentic source, increasing their trust in it. Microsoft is also factoring it into our risk detections, and going forward, admins will be able to use publisher verification status as an input to policies they set. Now, historically, admins have had to make a really hard decision when it comes to user consent. They've either had to turn it off entirely, letting no end users consent to any apps, or leave it on entirely. And this was a bit of an untenable trade-off, This is one of those places that I mentioned earlier where risk management and fast end user driven app adoption were at odds with each other and put customers between a rock and a hard place. So this week we're announcing public preview of consent policies. Consent policies let admins allow users to consent to a limited set of apps based on criteria that they set up proactively. This criteria can include what permissions the app is asking for or whether the publisher of that app is verified. What this all means is that an app that previously was seeing this all the time can now go through publisher verification and make it much more likely that they'll see this. And they can, and then users and admins of customers and prospective customers can click on the publisher name to learn more. Now, we worked with a whole bunch of partners in private preview who were early adopters of the program. This includes folks like Apple, and you can see an example of the consent screen for one of their apps with a verified publisher here. I'm also very happy to be joined live by another early adopter, Martin Seifert, the CEO of Office at Work, one of our ISV partners who recently went through the publisher verification process. Hi, Martin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
So can you start by telling us a little bit about your company?
Sure. Office at Work builds productivity SaaS apps for a global audience spanning all industries. Our apps help teams as well as entire organizations to get the most out of their Microsoft 365 subscription.
That's great. So when you first heard about publisher verification, why did you want to participate?
Well, generally, we strive to deliver a 10x or even better return on investment for our customers. But that's not relevant if our customers can't trust us. So that's why when we heard about publisher verification, we engaged immediately.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what was the process like?
Well, as you said before, the verification experience was quick and easy, and we are now really looking forward in seeing how this will help us drive customer acquisition, especially for our smaller customers.
Good to hear. Are you participating in any other similar programs that Microsoft offers?
Yes, we doubled down and we went for the Microsoft 365 App Certification Program. That program is free, but it was extremely thorough and absolutely worth it. We have now been verified for a few weeks and are already experiencing great benefits in the security screening a larger customers put us through. And in a recent bid, we actually were able to satisfy all security requirements based on the fact that we were Microsoft 365 app certified alone. This was an enormous time saver, not just for us, but also for our customer. So we have had really tremendous early results with this, and we value Microsoft's publisher verification and app certification as a critical part of our offering. We are also experiencing how this is helping us stand out in the market.
That's awesome to hear, Martin. I'm really glad to hear you're getting a lot of value out of both programs, and thank you again so much for joining us. Office at Work is one of more than 70 ISVs who have now marked over 140 apps with verified publishers. And you can see some of the other early adopters here on the screen. Now, publisher verification is most relevant for multi-tenant apps that are using OAuth and OpenID Connect. And in the future, this will be required for those apps to be user consentable. If you want to learn more about publisher verification and the Microsoft 365 app certification program that Martin mentioned, which is one of the next steps for a lot of folks after they complete publisher verification, there's a really good on-demand session given by Matt Steele, where he'll go into more depth on these topics and more. Now, you will see he shows some logos in that session as well, and you'll notice that there's a few more on this screen here. That's because in the few days since Matt pre-recorded his session, we've had a bunch of new ISVs come through and get their apps marked as publisher verified. And now that this program is open for public preview, you can go ahead and join them. So go get publisher verified, use the integration assistant, and use the latest version of MSOL. If you'd like to learn more, we've got a whole bunch of great on-demand sessions that are available immediately, including 109, which is that session I mentioned briefly, where Matt Steele will talk more about a bunch of the things I covered here today. We'll go into more depth on the integration assistant, on best practices for securing your app identity, on publisher verification, on Microsoft 365 app certification, and more. There's also a bunch of other great sessions here too. If you need to know how to get started, or you want to learn how to engage with us, there's a bunch of resources here on the screen. You can find us on GitHub, Stack Overflow, User Voice, Twitter, and more. These slides will be available after the session, so you will be able to click through these links directly. And with that, thank you so much for joining us, and let's open it up for questions.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Martin and Jeff. It's really great to see all the work that we're doing to develop a secure and trustworthy app ecosystem for developers and users and organizations alike. So just looking at the chat, we've got a couple questions coming through. One from John. He's asking, does going through publisher verification mean users are going to have to consent to my application again?
It does not. So publisher verification will improve the experience people have going forward, but it is not a breaking change for any customers who have already consented to the app and are already using it. It doesn't affect any existing authentication flows. It doesn't force any new consent prompts. So you can do this. You can go ahead and do this without worrying that anybody's going to have a degraded experience if they're already using your app.
Okay, great. And then another question from Lee W. wants to know, what's the difference between publisher verification, app certification, self-attestation?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are several phases in the journey that an ISV developer especially will go through, or anybody building multi-tenant apps will go through, when making sure that their app is seen as trustworthy by customers. So the first step is publisher verification. And this is purely about, it's about authenticity and transparency. This is really about, are you who you say you are? The next step is self-attestation or publisher attestation for Microsoft 365 apps. Apps that are integrated with various parts of M365 can go through and fill out and answer a bunch of questions about whether they abide by certain best practices, how they handle data, why they need certain permissions they're asking for, and whether they've achieved various industry standards and certifications. And then the ultimate step here, the final step, is Microsoft 365 app certification. And this is where Microsoft actually certifies thoroughly that your app is abiding by all those best practices and has achieved all those certifications and complies with all those standards. So, you know, these are all important steps, and publisher verification is the first step on that journey.
Awesome. So just following up on that, how long does it take to typically go through a verification process? Days, weeks, maybe, Martin? Mm-hmm. It'd be great to hear your experience in terms of how long that process took. And then, Jeff, if you have anything from a formal process standpoint, anything to add to that?
Okay, I'll start with the publisher verification. That's really quick. I mean, as we have heard from Jeff, it's a few clicks, and it really depends on what stage you were in before. I'll let Jeff follow up on that one. But on the certification part, it again depends on how much security was on your back mind when you started architecting your solution. We were rather lucky. It was on our mind all the time. We are very curious about data in terms of should we see it, should we not see it, and so on. So for us, it was just a really thorough process of disclosing all the different pieces that belong to it for the counterpart in the verification process to feel comfortable to give us the verification. I would say it took maybe 2 weeks for that part, but it really depends on where you are in your security standings.
Yeah, and I'll add on the publisher verification side. If you've already listed an app in AppSource or Azure Marketplace, if you've already participated in a number of programs that involve signing up for a Microsoft Partner Network account, then the process generally just takes a few seconds. You just plug your MPN ID and click verify and you're done. Now, if you haven't already gone through one of those programs and you haven't engaged in a Microsoft Partner program before, you do have to go and sign up for a Microsoft Partner Network account, which again is completely free. And the sign up itself, it takes a matter of minutes. Then you do need to go through a verification process to prove that that account is authentic. And generally speaking, that does happen very fast, but in some edge cases, it can take a matter of days or even weeks. So you should prepare for that. But most folks do get through the process very quickly, even if they're starting from scratch.
Awesome. So you talked about NPM being free. Is there anything cost associated when it comes to getting publisher verified or app certified? Martin or Jeff, any comments there? I guess, Martin, based on your experience, or Jeff, anything formal to tell the attendees?
I'll let Jeff go.
Yeah. So both programs are entirely free. There is no cost to you as a developer. Microsoft does not charge for these programs.
Excellent. So just looking at the chat a little bit more. So we got a question from Ian who wants to know, is publisher verification available for single tenant applications? Or Jeff, do you have any recommendations on what applications should typically get publisher verified?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you can go out and you do publisher verification for a single tenant application if that app is built by the organization who owns that tenant, because you do need to associate the Microsoft Partner Network account with the app registration. That said, it is most valuable for folks building multi-tenant apps, and specifically folks that use OAuth and OpenID Connect. You are more than welcome to go out and do this for single tenant apps or SAML apps or other types of apps. But again, it is most relevant for those multi-tenant apps that are built by folks like ISVs, not necessarily just ISVs, but folks that kind of fit in that persona where they're registering an app in one place and making it available to many, many tenants.
Got it. Another question from Mary. She wants to know, do verified publishers appear differently or have some sort of visual treatment, differentiation to distinguish themselves in different storefronts or experiences?
Yeah, so we have in the Enterprise Apps Blade in Azure AD, we have actually in preview right now, we have a capability where admins will be able to see the verified publisher status of an app after it's been consented to, and we'll be letting that up in a whole bunch of other experiences. So it's really the Enterprise Apps Blade, the consent screen, and the app registration page are the places where we're going to start. And then you will see in AppSource, as an example, you will see an indication that if the app has been Microsoft 365 certified or has gone through the publisher self-attestation. We don't yet have an indication of publisher verification in AppSource, but we will be lighting this up in more and more surfaces as we move through the preview towards GA.
Great. Another question from Ian. Will this type of verification work for Office add-ins or VSTO apps? I think it's probably somewhat related to the single tenant LOB type of question that we had.
Yeah, that's a very good question. The publisher verification will apply to where the app is listed from a storefront and what sort of app it is and where it runs is actually a bit orthogonal to whether publisher verification applies. So there is an important point where there are certain types of Office add-ins and Teams apps where this will not be relevant for. As an example, apps that are only calling client-side APIs, this is not relevant for. Basically, this is relevant for apps that have a footprint in Azure AD with their app registration and are using AD to sign users in and potentially make API calls and request permissions to APIs on those users' behalf. So if you're calling Microsoft Graph, that's the easiest way to know if this is relevant for you. If you're calling Graph, this is relevant for you. If you're calling Azure Resource Manager, this is relevant for you, and if you're a multi-tenant app. So in short, it depends on the usage pattern of the app, but it is applicable to many apps that are add-ins for different platforms.
Great. Another question, is there anything that we're doing on the IT admin side to make it easier for users to directly consent to these applications?
Yes, absolutely. So I mentioned this briefly before, but we didn't have time to go into it, but I do have a screenshot of it I can bring up in the appendix here. Previously users would just get an error message when they couldn't consent to an app. And we affectionately at times would call this the brick wall. And now admins can configure the admin consent workflow instead, which allows users to request admin approval for an app directly from the consent screen. And so they can type in a business justification here and click request approval. And this will send a request to the admin or admins in their tenant. And this can be configured for various numbers of approvers to be able to approve these requests and to get notifications when these requests are sent. So this is a really big improvement to help get requests to the right person fast when a user can't consent for some reason.
Got it. Now, on being able to consent for end users, can admins set it to a group of users, or do they have to apply it to the entire directory?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the new consent policies do use Azure AD RBAC V2, and they will be able to be assigned to specific users. So an admin can, as an example, an admin can set up a policy that says users can consent to these 10 permissions or these 5 permissions that I consider low impact or low risk. And they can only do that if the publisher of the app is verified. And I'm only going to let, say, developers in my organization actually consent for themselves. I want everybody else to go through the admin consent workflow, as an example. Or they can set different policies that apply to different groups of users. If some folks, should have greater privileges to consent to more types of apps under more circumstances, they can certainly do that too. So that's kind of an extra dimension you can use to really move away from that monolithic completely on or completely off. You can now be in a limited mode and limited in different ways for different sets of users.
Great. It's great to have these granular controls. A question from Brian J. He's saying the documentation says that you need to be an admin to register an app. Is there ways to delegate to this task to other people in your organization?
Yes. So by default, users and tenants can register apps. Now, that can be turned off by an admin, and it can require admin privileges only. But there are also a bunch of roles that can be used to delegate out app registrations and delegate out consent on behalf of the entire organization. So traditionally what we've called admin consent. There's a number of built-in roles that can be used to do this. So there's application admin and cloud application admin. And there's also app developer. And these roles have elevated rights in terms of what they can do in terms of app registrations and consent. And then there's also custom roles that now apply to app registrations as well, that let you really get in there and fine-tune who can do what for all apps in the tenant, who can do what for specific apps. And it really does let you, again, get away from that big, completely on or completely off model down to a fine-tuned level that works for your organization.
Great. So I think we have time for one more question. Does publisher verification require a holding company as a legal entity, or can a freelancer or a single developer be publisher verified as well?
That is a very good question. So it does require publisher verification is proof that a verified organizational identity is associated with that app registration. So at this time, it does require that there is an organization that is backing that app. And basically, the verification process that you need to go through in Partner Center on that MPN account, that is an organizational verification specifically. It's not an individual verification. So at the moment, it does require a backing organization. But we would love to hear feedback and learn more about your scenarios if you have cases where you want to get verified as an individual publisher.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Jeff and Martin. That's all the time we had. One call to action for everybody. Go get publisher verified. Jeff and Martin, thank you again for all this great information.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Enjoy Build.